The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast explodes into your earballs. Are there any such thing as earballs, Kingy? I don't think there are. It's eardrums and eyeballs. We've got every base covered on the Cat Attack Podcast.
You mean your eardrums?
Yes, we've got everything. Drums, balls, the whole shebang. Cats had the whole shebang covered on Saturday, Kingy. They did the, good old-fashioned number on. I tell you what, Geelong were good, and it was great, and it was good. Some confidence in a few guys that had sort of maybe been just a little bit off the mark, and they played, seemed to team well and things. Jeremy Cameron came in and there was back slapping and there was Lockie Henderson kicking two goals and there was Jack Henry kicking goals like Boris Rioli and there was barrels after the siren. And
who did you say? Boris Rioli?
No, Morris. Morris Rioli. And I just was thinking to myself during the week, if you're barracking for West Coast, you would have been absolutely filth. That was one of the most putrid performances. I know with all the players they had out, which was probably, six of their best 10?
Yeah.
They were never probably going to win. But the instant Jeremy McGovern went down, the rest of the players just got their wallets out. They must have had white flags, been issued white flags, ran them up the pole and said, yeah, we're out today. We need to get back on the charter flight. It was putrid from them, but Cats were good.
So what do we take out of Geelong's performance, Benny?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, it was... It was great. It was, I don't know what's going on. Can we getting a bit of up and down sort of action and all in the wrong spots? But, other than confidence, I just don't know that was a great sort of... do you reckon it was a good indication that the Cats are sort of, I don't know, back to their best? You can't go from playing the way they were back to their best. But it was a step in the right direction. Yeah. But I'd temper it with the fact that the opposition were very, very, very poor, despite the fact that they are a top side.
Let's not get too carried away with what Geelong did. Let's enjoy it for what it was. It was a Geelong team.
It was a feast.
Yeah.
10-1.
And against a team, too, who you know, were down Hearn,
Ryan
Yo,
Shuey,
and then McGovern throwing that.
Kennedy.
Kennedy as well. So there you go. There's half a dozen players that would be walk-up starts everywhere else. And if not in the top 10, everywhere else.
Yeah.
So let's not get too... Yeah, I'm not getting sucked in by that performance.
No, I hate getting sucked in. Mm. Once you're sucked in, it's hard to get out, isn't it?
It is, Benjamin. But the things... It's opened up for the Cats a little bit now because they've got a Sydney side who are not in great nick after a good start, but the last couple of weeks, you know, Gold Coast exposed some deficiencies and they're down some men as well.
Yeah, they're down a few, and it's probably always going to happen. A youngish side bursts out of the blocks,
comes to the pack,
gets reeled in, and suddenly the kids that were up and about 6 weeks ago are struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of them got a few senior players out.
It's like they got to the clock tower and ran out of gas.
Well, I don't think they even got to the clock tower, more sort of the 600 style. And the jockeys' elbows were starting to flail. They were just getting hard ridden. But they'll set themselves. I reckon the game won't be won or lost in the first quarter, but if they'll come out all guns blazing, Sydney,
yep.
I've got no doubt. Off the back of two, last week was an ordinary performance and beaten the week prior as well, so they've lost their last two.
Yeah, the Giants got them in the closing stages.
Yeah, that was it. They did.
So the question is, was the performance last week just an outlier and that it was just they were due for an off one and they had the off one and, that's not truly reflective of the Swans?
Well, Big Horse will have them wound tight, so they'll come out breathing fire. The Cats can withstand that early and go in at quarter time or even half time with a lead.
Yep.
I can't see Sydney getting over the top of them. The issue, their potential issue for the Cats is that Sydney get off to a flyer at home crowd, confidence builds, and then they're hard to reel in. So I reckon that first quarter will be really crucial in deciding the outcome because the Cats will be looking to frank what they did against West Coast, and I'm tipping... Despite the fact Sydney isn't West Coast, they're an inferior team to West Coast, they'll bring a whole lot more heat than West Coast brought on Saturday.
Yep. So the Cats have got Sydney, then roll into Richmond, who are not going at full...
Oh, yeah, but geez, once you start looking beyond 1 week, you get pants come down around to the ankle, sort of. Geelong are Richmond's bunnies.
Yep.
So I don't care if you... doesn't matter. And Richmond, they were enormous against Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide are the current... Well, they should be the premiership favourites, yeah. Are they?
I believe they are.
Yeah, they should be. They've got to have every base covered. And Richmond ran them to within a 15th in what was probably easily the best game of the year so far.
What do we make of Melbourne's performance?
Yeah, well, they were good. I watched that and I was sort of... Richmond kicked the first two and then Melbourne just spanked them hard after that. It was a spanking. Yep. A good old-fashioned sort of spanking.
So...
an SBS sort of late-night arrangement.
But the month of May for the Cats is a month of opportunity. Sydney, Richmond, St Kilda, Gold Coast here, and then Collingwood. Geelong get out of that, at worst, 4-1.
Yeah.
You would think.
Well, you just, once your chickens start getting counted,
yeah,
but they never lay.
But if the Cats are 8-3 at round 11, that's not a bad return from considering everybody was all.
Yeah, changed. But look, you just don't want to be doing that, can you? This week,
guess what? I just have.
Yeah, eight, I know.
You know what?
They'll be 8-3. All right. And if they're 8-3, that would be, I reckon they'd be what you would consider one out, one back, Westburn Grant style.
Even if they're 7-4.
Yeah, they're still in the mix.
Yep.
That will depend on how Richmond,
Bulldogs.
I'll get it right. Melbourne Bulldogs,
yep.
And Port Adelaide are going, because if they've cleared out in a 8-1, 9-1, 10-1,
yep.
Well, they've got the top three spots covered.
Yep.
So, I tell you what, you don't want to be playing Port in the finals, a long way out, I know, but you don't want to be going over there. That'd be diabolical sort of arrangement. You'd fancy your chances against Melbourne and the Bulldogs, just the fact that they're in Melbourne, maybe still a bit young, got still areas of fragility. But anyway, let's talk about the Cats this week, Kingy, and all last week.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see a few things happen. Dalhouse, he wasn't great, but he improved.
Yep.
They seem to have a bit of flow. Jeremy Cameron provided a spark. Look, it was the perfect game for him to come back. The ball was lived in Geelong's end. He's probably always going to get onto the end of a couple. I just like the way that seemingly he is a very different forward to Hawkins.
Yes.
So I like that he, a lot of his goals, and because he's played at GWS, we have seen him, but we don't see him all the time. So his playing style is probably a little bit unfamiliar to Geelong fans. They know he's a good player and they've seen highlights, but when you watch him in a game, he's probably one of those players that, even though being 196, he's more dangerous at ground level than he is in the air.
Yep.
He'll take the odd mark, probably a bit Buddy Franklin style. Mm-hmm. Like Franklin doesn't really marks the ball over his head.
Yep. Happy to have the ball on the ground.
Yeah, so Cameron can mark it over his head. I'm not saying he can't, but he's lively at ground level, whereas Hawkins is both lively at ground level, but is the sort of player who will take a contested mark. So it gives him a bit of... And then we heard last week, we were talking to Matty Knight's pre-game, and I asked him whether Sardar Radicalia was, in the mix as a sort of a permanent addition, as a half ruckman, half forward. And he, without hesitation, said yes, didn't he? He didn't even sort of go, give us a politically correct answer of maybe, we'll see how it goes, blah, blah, blah. He just goes, yes. Yep. So I'm thinking, I just wonder how that will work.
Yeah, he's still a month away.
Yeah, and good. I'm more than happy for him to be 6 weeks away, because yep. I think they could get him right before he comes in. Don't rush him back.
So in the end, he missed that academy game with a bit of groin. So he actually pulled out of the game basically in the warm-up. The groins were a bit sore.
Yeah, well, let's hope that he'll
play this week in the twos.
Give him plenty of time in the twos. Don't rush him in.
No, and that's what the Cats are saying. The Cats are actually saying, we've got it wrong before, and I think I said this last week about what Chris Scott said last week's media conference, and he reiterated it again on Wednesday. We are not going to rush Asava Radicalia because we've got it wrong before.
How was the coach this week? Was he prickly? No, like last week when you suggested he was prickly?
He was a little bit more sedate this week.
Was he?
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, he was... No, look.
Did he get prickly at anything?
In yesterday's presser?
Yes.
No.
No. He a bit prickly last week.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Oh, so he's obviously had a good week.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Somebody wanted to know what you thought of the coaching performance on the weekend off the Twitter. I think it might have been Ed.
Well, you could have had...
No, it wasn't Edmund. It was somebody.
Who?
No, I don't know who it was. It was somebody who's got a Twitter handle.
Oh, right. I don't know. I mean, well, they won by 97 points, so that's a pretty good effort. I don't know if you... I mean, you could have had probably a brick hanging off a lever coaching them on Saturday and probably would have got the job done. But, look, the thing is about the Cats is that over the last sort of, well, however long it is really, under Chris Scott...
10 years.
Bar 1 year where they missed the finals, they always win enough games.
Yep.
They're always around the mark, and They're very difficult to beat at home. All the stars aligned for them on the weekend because they played a top, well, we think is potentially a top four aspirant. Yep. Well, they would think they are West Coast, who had a heap of players out, lost their key defender, and then just threw the towel in. So, and Geelong made the most of it, which was good. They didn't struggle the Cats. They absolutely put them to the sword, which was, you know, a good effort. So it was, it was a good coaching. Well, I don't know, it was a good coaching performance, but the Cats got the job done. And this week will be, like I said, a bigger challenge against what you would consider an inferior opposition, but up there, coming off a poor game, they'll be wanting to show. And Longmire's pretty good at getting his team up and about. I don't know whether he can get them up and about for four quarters. That'll be the key for the Cats to sort of... be great to see how they frank what they did Saturday, this Saturday. Yep.
Changes will be O'Connor out.
Yeah, hamstring.
Yep. And
the old string.
And your mate probably won't play either.
The Ukrainian.
Jake Kolarjasny with a knee. So
no, that's all right.
Well, I think Jordan Clark will get a spot in the 22.
Yeah.
Because, well...
playing where?
Well, they're going to have to shuffle. Well, they're going to have to shuffle up defensively with Kolarjasny out. So there'll be some movement there. So you might see Tui back, and that may open a spot for Clark as a high half forward slash winger.
Yeah, well, that just hasn't worked for him, unfortunately. So
where would you want to play him off a halfback flank?
If he was playing, yes.
But whose spot is he taking?
Well, that's
he's not taking Tommy Atkins. Not based on Tommy's form through the.
No, he's not. No, well, that's the problem. And this is when you've got a really strong team and you've got a young player that hasn't established himself. And, you know, he's got a few attributes you think, oh, might be handy up the ground. And then he plays up the ground and struggles. This is the sort of byproduct of the Cats having a really strong and deep list, is that guys like Jordan Clark, there's too many players ahead of him in defence, yet he's not, his game at the moment isn't up to playing up the ground. He doesn't read the game that well. And he just doesn't, I don't know, he's not competitive enough at times. But if he gets a crack, that's fine. I mean, the thing about Kingy, the Cats are built, and they've built themselves to have a few injuries and have the depth.
Yep.
They haven't built themselves to have 25 players and then go, "Geez, we're missing these three guys. Who's in the cupboard?"
We're in trouble.
They should have a bit in the cupboard. And missing Kolarjasny and learning to play without... I mean, we saw last week, you know, the midfield didn't miss a beat without Patrick Dangerfield. Yep. So...
he's going to be a nice luxury. If the Cats can get through this next 6 weeks without him... in terms of, you know, banking some wins and going into the second half of the year with a positive win-loss record, it will be, you know, he comes back and he gets a burst at it at the second half of the year where he might only have to play 12 or 13 games.
Yeah.
And come September, he's fresh and on top of the ground as opposed to grand final day last year where he was no good.
The only thing I'll say...
yes.
With the glass sort of going slightly down with the volume of liquid...
yep, half full.
Yep. Is that...
or half empty.
Is that... and you're get me on the years. What was it last? Was it last year in Ablett or the... yeah, last year. No, was it last year or the year before?
Year before. When Ablett ran out of steam and they were talking about resting him and stuff like that.
No, when he came back in last year, didn't he?
He came back in late last
he
year.
He missed. And who was the other player? So was it Selwood who was missing as well for a large chunk?
Of last year?
Yeah.
Oh, Selwood missed that group of games with a hamstring.
That was at the back end of the year though, wasn't
it? No, that was mid-season. He injured the hamstring in Perth against the Pies in about round 7 or 8.
Right.
And he missed probably a month. And he was back by around 12 or 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about the potential for those inclusions, as great as they were in terms of name, sort of upsetting the apple cart a little bit.
Yeah.
I just wonder, it'd be really interesting if the Cats were over this next 6 week block to play really well and get something happening. I wonder where they fit Patrick Dunn. I'm not saying that they don't fit him in, but do they...
how does it look?
Yeah. Does he go straight into the midfield? Do they try and put him up forward? You know, do they not want to upset things if they are playing well? Mm-hmm. If they're not playing well, bang, get him in there because it'll be a great inclusion.
Yep.
And if they are playing well, it'll be a good problem to have. But it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out, A, for the team, and then B, when he does come back.
Hopefully Narkle gets a look this week. He was very... I know it was only the AFL Academy, but he showed some signs last week.
Hurt his ankle, didn't he?
No, he's fine.
He's all right?
Just a tweak, yeah.
The old tweak.
He's just tweaking.
Have you had a tweak?
I've had a tweak, yeah.
In what region was tweaked?
Hamstring.
Right, okay. A tweaked hamstring.
A tweaked hamstring.
Yeah.
Right, so hopefully he gets a look in. Charlie Constable maybe as well. See, the SCG would...
it's the same name, though, isn't it?
Well, who else are you going to...
no, I know, but
you can't bring Cooper Stevens in.
No.
Cooper Stevens is the one you want to see, but he's out.
Yeah.
So everybody else at the moment are either kids or Holmes is the other one. Holmes,
and Sam Simpson needs more time.
Simpson is going to need probably another 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Max Holmes is maybe the other one as well.
Yep.
They rate him, like his game last week was really good, and actually it'll come up in our questions. Do you want to take some
questions? So who's the who are the so it's Narkle, Constable, who have sort of been in the mix anyway.
Yeah, Holmes.
And that's it.
At the moment, yeah. Because you got, well, you got a lot.
Then Radigalia at some point down the track. Simpson.
Yep.
And then who else are we looking at?
Cooper Stevens eventually.
Yep. Who else would be up for a debut?
Oh, Stevens and Neil.
What about Ockenbore?
He was all right against what I saw. And he was okay against North Melbourne the week before.
That Academy game.
But but that's just... That just means continuity of football, as opposed to having
He's tough as a woodpecker's lips, isn't he? Old Ockenbore.
He doesn't mind a bit of physicality.
He likes mixing it up.
For somebody who actually has come out of Gaelic where it's not, it's basically a non-contact sport.
Yeah, he likes a bit of physical, a bit of skin on skin.
Correct. Questions?
Yeah, I love questions.
All right, here we go. Let's have a look here. We're on the big footy. Daz Broncos first off the cab off the rank. Are we going to miss Mark O'Connor or Dangerfield more over the next few weeks? O'Connor put Tim Kelly to the sword, managed to kick his own goal as well until he hurt his hammy. He's got quite a few good names that he's taken out. They will miss him.
Yeah, they will. But you know,
would he have gone to a Parker maybe?
Oh, potentially.
Josh Kennedy.
I doubt whether they'd tag Kennedy. Parker's probably one who can go forward and kick you a goal. Mm. That would have been... I don't know whether there was an obvious match-up for him this week.
But is that why you go to Kennedy? Because if Parker can go forward, you don't... And he can go forward and hurt you, whereas a Kennedy can't go anywhere else other than the midfield.
Has he just been going, though, Kennedy?
Yeah, he's not... Well, look, you've got to remember, he's 33 and banged up body.
Yeah, he'd be a bit disappointed if he was getting tagged when he's 33.
How good is the JC effect? Rowan was the immediate benefactor of less attention. That and the fact he started marking everything after 4 weeks of close but no cigar. Can this continual opposition coaches just start to flood back when we get the ball to lock everything up? Well, yeah, coach, that's where the Cats have got to move the footy quicker than what the defence transitions.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to do that all the time, but when you take your chances, you got to move it quick. And, I mean, Gary Rowan had a day out. I'd just like to see him... do it more often, do it in a big game, and also just decrease the gap between his best and his worst. That's what I'd love to see, because he is a dynamic sort of player, and you know, you got your head around the fact he's not going to get it 20 times, but the knock on him, I suppose, and the challenge for him is that when he goes missing, he's in witness protection. He's just got to find a way to stay involved in the game when it's not all going his way, and then he'd be a real asset.
On a completely different note, why don't the club paint blue hoops around the white tight tower bases to resemble
the footy socks? We've had this before,
Would it be a good community project and very cheap to do? That's my Kerr's High community focus for the week.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad idea. I'm all for it.
Let's put it to the Stadium Trust. I think we're going to, at some stage, have Stephen Goff, the new chair of the Stadium Trust, join us pre-game in one of the home games coming up.
It would be good going well to get him off the golf course at Bowen Heads. He's down there permanently.
Cat to the future. Hey guys, is it just me? Was Jack Henry suddenly much better in traffic? Seems far more composed. And I think his recent forays forward have given him a confidence boost. Seems to have added a bit of meat to the frame as well. Yeah, he's a bit bigger than what he was, but he hasn't lost any of his athleticism. Doing a little bit of ruck work. Signed a new 3-year contract.
Yeah.
So he's at the club till the end of 2024.
He's developing really nicely. He's a number of, I think it's probably the influence of Matty Scarlett on the development of those guys. The defenders, we seem to have developed some reasonable defenders, and I reckon Matty Scarlett has a lot to do with that in terms of Blitzarves, you know, Colajasny's developed. And when we were saying a few weeks ago that...
Tom Stewart,
and they're defenders. Yeah, pretty sure that the old 30, the former 30, might have his fingerprints all over that development.
Of course he does. Yep. Steph Ockenbore at centre bounces at the scratch match with the under-18s raised an eyebrow. He can't knock his ready-to-go shape, but is his kicking and decision-making at a level where a debut would be out of the question in the coming months? He's not a bad kick of the footy. He's not in the Ty Canelli, Zach Tui, you know, Irishman kick of the footy, but he's not poor either.
You can spray him.
Yeah. It wouldn't rule him out playing at some stage this year. They do like him at the club.
I think it will depend on their record as to who they debut.
Yeah.
If they're wanting to debut somebody and thinking, well, we can still get away with winning and their record is good.
Yep.
If their record's a bit iffy and they're under pressure to really win games, I don't know that they'll be turning to guys like that. So I reckon how the Cats fare over the next 6 weeks will determine what happens in terms of a few debutants later on in the year.
SCG being hard to defend, easy to attack, getting has usually not suited us. With our new attacking structure, do you think this might have been flipped to suit us more than it hurts us defensively? I'll tell you what, with a small one kick your inside forward 50, I think two blokes will be very, very happy to see the ball coming in if you can win the centre clearances.
Yeah, it'll be good. And it'll be a really good test because of the smaller ground for Cameron and Hawkins to see how they sort of mesh.
Yep.
Do you like that word?
I do. Son of God 29. Hi, lads. See what happens when you move the ball with purpose. The second quarter was outstanding. The new bloke wearing number 5 has a great career in front of him. Hawkins-Cameron combination will only get better and could well add years on Hawks' career. Hawk 33 in July, contracted to the end of next year. Does he play in the year he turns 35?
Hawkins?
Mm.
I wouldn't put it past him. Can you think of a more durable player than Tom Hawkins?
No, he's barely missed in his...
I've said this a few times on K-Rock that when they were playing pre-season games on the Gold Coast in the middle of February, he's playing in those games. Yep. I don't think he's not missed a game in terms of sort of... He doesn't get rested.
No.
He plays week in, week out, regardless of where they're playing. All those games they've played against Essendon and Colac, he's always playing in those games. Yep. He doesn't miss, and he's durable. He's getting better, but his impact on games is not decreasing as he's getting older. No. It's actually increasing.
And it's not just relying on him kicking goals.
No, his field kicking is brilliant. He's an asset in the ruck when rucking forward, and his ability just to move the other ruckman out of the way, grab it, handball it, or kick it, or whatever it is. The number of goals Geelong have scored from that. There's no other club that has a forward who's able to influence. Every now and then you give a free kick away, and that's fine. We mentioned it a few times. I think Neody's probably mentioned it. The one area that is occasionally letting him down is he's caught behind.
Yep.
And gives away a free kick. So I don't know whether that's from sort of play ready, because play ready is one of his strengths. But every now and then, yeah, the ball comes in and you sort of expect him to be there, and he gets caught behind out of position, gives away free. So, but he's I wouldn't put him past him. I'll get that out.
Yep.
Eventually I did. Playing, nudging towards 350.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, which would do if he was to play until 2023. Would put him in that bracket because he's about 280.
He's 280, yeah. And look, he's the sort of bloke that might just say, you know, over and out.
Correct.
But I think he's really invested. He enjoys it.
Yep.
His body's in its best shape it's ever been.
Yep.
His form's not dropping off. He's got Jeremy Cameron now to sort of support him over the next, you know, so if it's another year of, geez, it's just me, you'd be thinking, well, geez, am I up for another year of just kick to me?
So this is year one of Cameron's 5-year deal. How many of the years does Hawkins play?
3.
We think he plays 3.
And gets to near 350.
Yep, that'd be a great career.
Wow, that'd be better than...
Considering it took him four years to really get going.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's been, even up until a couple of years ago, people were wanting him to kick 6 goals every week, and when he didn't, they'd jump up and down, and he was maligned there for a while. I was his biggest fan. I used to stick up for him.
Love the development of Jack Henry, but please keep Chris Scott keep him out of the ruck.
Yeah.
When are Mitch Duncan and Cam Guthrie going to get the credit they deserve from the wider footy world? Oh, we're giving it to them. Cam Guthrie has followed up what was a cracking 2020 with a very good start to 2021.
Yep, he's good. He's become a really consistent player, and that was
he's averaging 30 odd a game.
Yeah, and that was always. The knock, not a knock is probably not the right word. That was always the sort of area of question with him, was that he could play some blinders. I remember there was one game against Hawthorn, I reckon he had 33 or 35 and kicked 3 goals.
Yep.
And then the next week, he couldn't get a kick.
Hmm.
In the prelim of 2019, was it?
Against Richmond.
To Richmond?
Yep.
He didn't touch the ball in the last quarter
when
the game was on the line. You know, and I know that's just picking out one quarter, and it's easy to do that. But they were the sorts of things that would happen.
Yep, he'd be. See him.
Yeah, and
doesn't happen now.
No, it doesn't.
He was always a good athlete, but you find him now getting to more contests.
Yeah.
Than previously, or finding the ball in the back half, adding that little extra layer of support.
Yeah,
defensively.
It's probably, I don't know, it's just taking him this long. He's 29. Yep. Just taking him this long to sort of work it all out. Yeah. All the stars have aligned. He's fit. He's continuity.
Yep. Because he's had a couple of pre-seasons too where he's come in and he's had little niggles and stuff like that, whereas not this.
How many games would he play?
Cam Guthrie. Yeah. He's in the 180s.
So he's nudging towards 200. Yeah, look, it's great. He's a real frontline midfielder for the Cats now. And this is where I was talking before about Dangerfield when he comes back. If you've got Menegola, and Menegola's improved since he's come back into the team. His first game was a little bit off.
Against Adelaide. Yeah. Or the first one back.
First one back. Yep. Yeah, he was a little bit off and then he's got better. He's a guy that needs to play every week.
Yep.
He just thrives on, if he's out for a period of time, he takes him a while to find his feet. But you got Menegola, Guthrie, Selwood's back playing good footy. You got Mitch Duncan. They're running O'Connor through the midfield. Who am I missing in there, Kingy? There's five.
Yep.
Well, they're going to probably have Sean Higgins in there at some point. Isaac Smith, I know he's a wingman, but that sort of mingles with the midfield.
Yep.
You know, they've got plenty in there. So, and how they fare and how they perform will be really interesting over the next 6 weeks in terms of Dangerfield being out.
From the West Coast point of view, what has happened to Tim Kelly? He doesn't look half the player he was at Geelong.
Oh, well, if you're just basing that off last week.
He didn't have a great 2020. I know 2020 was all over the shop for so many people and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. He wasn't great.
He's not kicking goals like he did at Geelong. So he averaged a goal a game at Geelong. I think he's only kicked half a dozen goals in 20-odd games now for West Coast.
Yeah. And it's probably a fair point. He's probably still been handy without starring. So who do the Cats get for him? Stevens, didn't they?
It was a draft before, wasn't it? The trade was done into 29.
Who do they pick up then?
That was DeConning and that draft.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, who's the other one, though? They can make two draft picks for him?
Oh, yeah. But then that... So
then they on-traded.
Yeah, it was all... Yeah. All very confusing.
To get Mick Schultz back.
The trade work done by Wells and Co. is looking better and better now that Jezza is in the forward line and both Essendon and GWS appear not to be in the finals picture. Only disappointments for the day, Blitz disposal in the back half in the first quarter. He had a couple of howlers and injury to O'Connor. Called it, Addie. Hey, boys, are we rightfully okay to start getting super excited over Max Holmes? He looks like he could be anything with limited game time. He's been tearing these VFL games to shreds. He's going to be a good player. Just be patient. He's not going to play every game. He's not Joel Selwood and going to come in and do what he did in 07. Nobody's ever going to be like that again. But he will be a very good player for Geelong for a heck of a long time because he is an endurance beast.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for that.
Yep. Last week I mentioned to you both about the lack of targets up the ground, e.g. kicking to Myers and Dell on the wing. What a difference Cameron makes. People have spoken about Rowan getting reward, but it was the work up the field which allowed for one-on-one for all our three major forwards to get off the leash. Thanks again for all you do for the podcast. And that was always going to happen for Gary Rowan, that he was going to benefit from Jeremy Cameron. That was as plain as a nose on your face when Jeremy Cameron wasn't in the side, that Gary Rowan was struggling. He was flying at everything, but flying at probably the wrong times. But he picked his moments. You know, okay, this is my time to go. But he found the ball on the ground, and yeah, there's a bit of oomph about Gary Rowan's game.
We mentioned it too to Matty Knights that he'd be, when Radigalia comes into the mix in the second half of the year, hopefully, and helps out in the ruck and up forward, I don't know if you want to have Rowan, Radigalia, Hawkins, Cameron all flying. So Rowan might have to change the way he plays a little bit and become a traditional smallish forward where he's applying pressure at ground level rather than flying. But it's just in his makeup to fly. I don't know whether you get that out of him. That's going to be really interesting because I mentioned before Cameron's good at ground level, which is, you know, which is great. You're just maybe a bit top heavy, which means you need to be really careful of that ball coming out a million miles an hour. So Rowan may have to change the way that he plays a little bit when the big Savaloy gets back into the team.
Fox Dog, it was a pleasure to drive 4 hours from regional Victoria to watch the Cats. Would have been a different story if we lost, as it would have been a sad trip home. After the game, I tuned into you guys and to listen to you after the game. But I have a complaint. How did Jack Henry win goal of the day over Mitch Duncan's torpedo from the boundary after the siren? I'll give you the chance now if you like to reverse that decision on the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast.
Well, there's plenty of sausage rolls you could have taken as goal.
Did you have some control over that? Because you called the Henry goal, called the Duncan.
I don't have any control, Kingy. I just asked down the line during an ad break who has got goal of the day, and I'm fed the information, I write it down, then I read it out.
Okay.
So that's how that happened. Right. So what we need to do is I'm passing the buck to, I think it was Maddie.
Young Matthew
down the line back in the studio. He adjudicated that was goal of the day. So maybe... What might have happened, he may have had a call of nature there at halftime and he may have not heard the Duncan sausage roll. Okay. So he just came back and thought the Duncan, the Henry sausage just stuck in his cranium. But anyway, look, we can make sure next week we get the goal of the day.
All right. Do you want to hear it again?
Duncan, 55.
He has
gone the tour. Has he got all of it? He's kicked the barrel and he's kicked the goal. Lammy Tavern. Goal of the afternoon belongs to Mitch Duncan, and that is 10 goals for the quarter.
I suggested he was going to kick. Yeah, they should have the preamble to that, Kingy, because I said he needed to go the barrel.
And he did.
And I said it was going to be like a Polaris missile, and it was.
Turbo Cat, from my position behind the goals, my impression was he did not get all of it. I think he left 5 to 10 metres on the table. He didn't get it flush.
No, he didn't.
But he got enough.
He did. It was one of those sort of slightly wonky barrels, but it still spun and had this sort of evolution of the barrel.
Yep.
That one you get when it just goes like a bullet,
that's
the one that really can hustle through the atmosphere.
Chris Scott was notable less acerbic Chris and more erudite Chris this week, fully philosophising about game length. I suspect no matter what he says, the win has taken a little bit of pressure off at the pressure he mentioned. He was shown social media comments about Dullhouse. Do you think he was talking about big footy? And does that mean the club monitors negative comments? I don't know what the club do in terms of how they monitor social media. Chris Scott's a non-social media person, doesn't faze him. A lot of people say, I don't pay any attention to it. I actually legitimately think Chris Scott pays absolutely no attention to what's said in the media, written in the media.
I don't think he cares for the opinion of anybody, really. So that's just his go.
Saturday night. Cats and the Swans. Bernard Toohey is our player.
Is he?
Who played
Old
for both.
Huck.
Yep. He's going to join us, which is fantastic. Looking forward to having a chat with him. He's residing over on the other peninsula. And we'll have a chat to us. And I think Corey Enright's going to join us pre-game as well to have a bit of a chat. So looking forward to that. Benny, your St. Joseph's, they're our GFL match of the day.
Yeah, that's going to be an absolute humdinger.
Yeah, St. Joseph's in Newtown and Chilwell.
Yeah.
The battle for the old Cement Cup.
The Cement Cup?
Yeah, remember they used to play for the Cement Cup?
No.
Back in the day?
No.
Now it's the Battle of the Milk Bar.
Humdinger, I would have thought.
It will be an absolute cracker. So you fight, and then 5:30 for our AFL coverage. So
yep, can't wait for King. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Cats can throw up after their really solid effort against the Eagles.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer, North Geelong, Grovedale, and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.